Washington football. Woo!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Burgundy Zone. I am your host, Kyle, and I am joined by my two co-hosts, Michael Hall and Michael Reed. We are joined by very special guest, Ken Burgundy, contributor for Riggo's Rag. How are you doing tonight, Ken?
I'm doing well. Unfortunately, I can't be seen. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but it's great to be with you guys.
You could be doing anything right now. We wouldn't even know.
You could be sitting in a tub yeah, or something, right. Like around candles.
Some things should be left unspoken.
You're not lying, Ken. And for one, it brings me into my first question here. The latest news was that there's rumors going around that Brandon Scherff turned down a deal from the Washington football team that would have him be the highest paid guard in the league. Do you think that is true? And if it is true, what do we do from here? What do you expect? Do you expect Scherff to be here for the season? Or is this something that could possibly down the road this season where they're trading him away?
Well, first of all, I think no one's going to want to take on an $18 million contract for 1 year. That's going to put a major crimp in a lot of salary cap issues for teams across the league. There are two or three teams that could take him on, but those teams are really in rebuilding mode. So they're probably not going to want to go with a 30-year-old guard. But as far as the report that he turned it down, I tend to believe it. But I'm also surprised that he did turn it down, right? Because last year he said he really wanted to sign a long-term contract to be in Washington. And so why not try to work something out last offseason? So that back then, by late summer, early fall, that raised a red flag with me. And so we see what's happened this year, and basically Washington is stuck with what they have.
Right. Yeah, the Scherff situation is going to be very interesting to monitor. I mean, just you look at who they have to fill in for Scherff, possibly if he goes, like Sadiq Charles, is he going to end up being the guy? Wes Schweitzer's played phenomenal. So, I mean, you still have guys, but it's going to be very tough. I'm going to turn it to the draft real fast. Everybody in the first round is mocking Washington, either a linebacker or an offensive tackle. Is there any position maybe in the first 2 days of the draft that you could see Washington kind of surprising people by going like a different direction?
Possibly. But I think it would require a trade,
right?
To be honest. Trade up or down, we don't know. I think they're in a position in the first round where they could trade back or they could trade up. If they trade up, yeah, they're probably going for a quarterback.
Right.
But I think that would be too much in draft capital to sacrifice at this point. But I could see them going back a little bit and perhaps adding a free safety. Morig is probably going to be there, right? You know, later in the first round. That would be a surprise, but it wouldn't be like a huge shocker if that happened.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. Especially with Landon Collins, he's kind of up in the air at this point. No one knows what's going on with him. So definitely safety wouldn't be a shocker, but kind of a shocker. But kind of sticking with the offseason, obviously the quarterback for a year, maybe possibly two, with everyone, with all the speculation going on as far as up in the air with everyone of the next year's quarterback class. Were you pro Fitzpatrick as far as signing him, or were you along the lines of maybe trying to get someone younger, maybe a Sam Darnold or Marcus Mariota type?
Well, I never thought they would go after a reclamation project, which is apparently what some of the scuttlebutt coming out of the front office saying, we don't want a reclamation project. And they mentioned Darnold specifically. I think J.P. Finley had that report first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think John Kine got on board, said, yeah, I've heard the same thing. So that more or less verified it. And I think that speaks, you know, to guys like Bridgewater, as well as Darnold himself, that they just are not interested in guys that, you know, probably don't have the greatest of futures. Mm-hmm. Will either be career backups or spot starters here and there, and have, the kind of history that when you look back, not much to it. So I think what can happen in this draft is they look for someone in second or third round. And I'm looking at either Kyle Trask or Kellen Mond at this point.
We're all big Kellen Mond guys here.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly, but you know, I'm starting to think that it may trade. They may trade up into the first round and keep their 19th overall pick, but use a 2022 first round pick and their second rounder to move up, say the 31st, 32nd, and take Mond there. That way you would have him on a five-year contract. You have him for 5 years. And that's what Baltimore did a few years ago with Lamar Jackson. They did it for that specific purpose. So I could see something like that happen. I think Mond is moving up the boards, and I think he's very underrated. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback in this league. Maybe not a bona fide superstar, but I think he's going to be good enough.
You see, Ken, my man.
I know, right? This is music to our ears.
Now, yesterday, the Carolina Panthers executed a trade with the New York Jets to send Sam Darnold to Carolina for a sixth rounder this year, a second rounder next year, and a fourth rounder next year, if I'm not mistaken. What does that mean for the Washington football team? You know, because Carolina was considered one of those teams that would select a quarterback, and everyone is speculating that now maybe some quarterbacks can fall down the draft to them possibly at 19. What are the implications for Washington football team with that move?
Well, if, say, if Justin Fields or Trey Lance does fall, you know, Washington has a tough decision at that point. You know, if they were thinking originally Kellen Mond and making the move that I just suggested, maybe they, you know, reevaluate that. But they're going to have less than one evening to do that. They're going to have to huddle up and decide if they want to trade up four or five positions, or maybe as much as, say, 10 or 11 positions to get the guy they want. But, you know, once you start getting into the seventh or eighth, you know, pick overall, that's still going to be a heavy price once again. And I don't know if that's too palatable for this front office, but you never know. The one thing we don't know about this front office is what their draft board looks like. I mean, we have no clue. And I think it's going to be all the way that way to all the way to draft night. We could speculate all day long for the next few weeks, and we're still not going to have a clue until it actually happens. We're all kind of lost this year because we're coming up with so many scenarios.
Yep.
And any one of them could be right.
Right. And Washington's kind of in that no man's land there at 19 where it's, you know, they're not at the end of the first round. There should be some guys available, but is it somebody who's going to meet a need? Is it somebody that they can really afford to take there? Like it'll be very interesting, but, so sticking with the draft, I know I've been talking all offseason that I personally thought that Washington needed to double up at wide receiver, get two starters, sign somebody, maybe draft somebody. I know that they ended up signing Adam Humphries, but could you still see them drafting somebody fairly early in the draft? I mean, of course, obviously, if Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith falls, obviously at 19. But do you think maybe round two or something, they could take a look at a wide receiver?
You know, the last two or three drafts, well, really three or four, the depth at wide receiver has been phenomenal. I mean, truly phenomenal. I mean, we got a franchise receiver in the third round, you know, recently.
Right.
And in that same round, you had DK Metcalf going to Seattle in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
And look at him now.
Right.
So I think there's going to be a guy in the third round they really like. It could, you know, it could be Tylan Wallace. It could be, you know, St. Brown falls.
Yeah.
But a guy that I really like is Nico Collins out of Michigan.
Yeah, there you go.
My man.
Yep.
We did a tooth right now.
Yeah, we did a breakdown on him.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Okay, so I won't, you know, elaborate since you've done a breakdown on him already. But
that was on Twitter. It's okay. You can go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Nico Collins has all the measurables that Washington is probably looking for. He's a tall, talented receiver. He can catch the jump balls in the end zone. And he can, you know, move the chains regularly. And I think with the speed that you have with Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin, he's going to be a guy that's open over the middle quite often. And when you throw Logan Thomas into that equation, that's going to be a pretty good lineup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just think about it. A few months ago, we had Terry McLaurin, and that was it.
Yeah.
And we had some guys, and they were okay. But all of a sudden, with Curtis Samuel coming aboard, and with Logan Thomas, the second half of the season, well, that was incredible. You hope that continues. And I think with our tight end coach being one of the best in the last few decades,
Pete Honore,
I think that continues. But Nico Collins is a guy that I'm looking at. There's several others, but you know, keep an eye on him on draft night on the second day.
Yeah.
No, trust me, it definitely will be. Yeah. I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm a big Nico Collins guy. I was trying to find my paper that I did a breakdown on. I couldn't find it. But, yeah, it's kind of, I guess, sticking with the draft as well. A lot of speculation is going on. Like, this is really not a deep class as far as D-tackles go. So, obviously, we're really, really, really deep at D-tackle. So, obviously, the Jonathan Allen's the guy that's up for his fifth year. I believe they picked it up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so could you see him maybe being a piece going forward? Because, like, everyone knows he's, like, probably, like, a big Ron Rivera guy. He's a big locker room guy, probably, like, one of the defensive leaders, only a leader on the team. So could you definitely see him sticking with the team going forward, or could you possibly see them packaging him on draft night to maybe, like you said, move up into the first round like a guy like Kellen Mond?
Well, anything's possible. Like I said a couple minutes ago, we just don't know what's going to happen with this draft. That could happen. I kind of doubt it. I really think Rivera likes this defensive line. He doesn't want to break them up right now. Mm-hmm. Now, next year, if the salary cap doesn't rise much, yeah, they're going to have to make a decision or two. No doubt about it. But, Mike, to your point, I think that they want to keep Deron Payne around for a couple of reasons. First of all, he just closed up that middle so well. And a player like that may not, you know, register many sacks or get a lot of tackles, but they're going to, you know, open up holes for the other defensive linemen as well as the linebackers. And he's been doing that rather well the last couple of years. So, but if the salary cap goes up as expected, especially in 2 years, I think the team will probably try to structure a one-year contract to have him, you know, that may have to put the franchise tag on him at that point. But I think he's a player that's going to stay around.
Now, Kenton, we already know this. You are alumni of Virginia, the Cavaliers. And yes. Morgan Moses is a Cavalier. He had not a bounce back year, but he really took a big step last season, this best season of his career so far. So looking into this season, who do you think would have that kind of Morgan Moses leap?
Well, yeah, the obvious choice would probably be Sadiq Charles. I know he wasn't on the field hardly at all.
Right.
What, 2-3 plays, and that was it. And the team was excited for his future. And I just feel like they probably rushed him a little bit too quickly to get him into the lineup. But I think that speaks volumes about wanting to get Charles onto the field.
Yeah.
So will they, you know, keep him inside at guard? Probably so. But I think Wes Schweitzer, that's a difficult name for me. Thank you. I think he's returns at left guard. Does that mean, you know, Charles is on the bench? Well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with the Brandon Scherff situation. But, there's still a chance that Charles could be at left tackle. I know Cornelius Lucas did a great job there last year. But I really think Sadiq Charles is going to be a major part of that offensive line this year.
That's my man. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I think Sadiq will definitely have a big role. Another person who came out last year, a lot of Washington Twitter has kind of been talking about him a lot. Do you think Thaddeus Moss has a role on this team?
Great question.
Well, How do you know? It's tough.
Right?
Yeah, it is, because we don't have anything to really judge
exactly
from last year. We're going off, you know, basically 1 year at LSU. Mm. And before that, there wasn't too much there either.
Right.
Now, he had a pretty good year at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the team is going to try to give him every chance. But I'm still not ruling out a tight end being chosen in the third round. The player I'm looking at the most is Tommy Tremble. Now, he's a little bit under the radar, but Tommy Tremble,
he's a ferocious blocker.
Oh, my goodness. But again, I go to our tight end coach. He'll be able to develop him. He developed oh, who was the Carolina tight end?
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen. He developed Greg Olsen from almost nothing. And look at what
potential Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is. I think he is a Hall of Famer.
Right.
At least close to it.
Yeah.
So I think with Tommy Tremble coming in, he will take on the role initially that they expected of Jeremy Sprinkle. They wanted him to be a great blocker, and he was adequate. But right. as a receiver, no. Yeah. So I think someone like Tommy Tremble comes in and does that. So now what happens with, you know, with Thad Moss at that point? I think he does become the third guy, because I think they're going to try to give him every opportunity to succeed.
Right. Yeah. Big Thaddeus Moss fan. I wanted them to actually – that was one of the guys I was targeting for them to sign before I knew Logan Thomas was going to be Logan Thomas. But kind of sticking with the offense, Curtis Samuel was the kind of the big prize possession of the offseason. Great contract structure, 3 years he's going to be here. Great pairing with him and Terry McLaurin. Are you excited about Curtis Samuel, and did you want them to maybe go after a bigger body guy like a Corey Davis or Kenny Galladay, or do you think that Curtis Samuel was the perfect fit for this team?
I think he's the right fit. I like Corey Davis, but you get the sense that, yeah, he may not live up to a big contract. And he got a really big contract from the Jets. I was stunned to see the size of that. I mean, considering in a lower salary cap year, I was surprised he didn't get a contract that was structured to deal with that. But, hey, if the money's there, you got to take it.
Yeah.
So knowing that he was going to get that contract, that's where he went, because Washington was not going to give that to him, and rightfully so. So with Curtis Samuel, I think they have a good contract. I think it has a couple of affordable years, but I think they will try to restructure in another year or two and keep him more long term. He just adds so much versatility. I could see a play early in the season where he's lined up, say, in the slot, and you have, Terry McLaurin to the outside, and maybe J.D. McKissic, or I was even going to say Antonio Gibson in the backfield. And all of a sudden, Curtis Samuel comes back. Antonio Gibson goes over to the slot. But what's going to happen? I predicted that a play like that, because they think the defense is going to focus on those two or three guys. And I could see Fitzmagic tossing a 15, 20 yarder down the field to Logan Thomas, and then he adds on another 10 just to make it look really good. So just from that standpoint, that's what Curtis Samuel is going to bring. He's going to bring a lot of dynamics. He's going to get some rushes, but he's going to get some good catches out of the slot. And I think downfield threat as well.
Yeah, he brings a lot of advantages to the Washington offense, to say the least. Now, to wrap this up, Ken, what is your realistic dream scenario for that 19th pick? Whether it be somebody falling realistically or the trade back or trading up, what's your dream scenario for that 19th selection?
Well, I think a lot of people know that I have a man crush on Zaven Collins, but yeah, I think Zaven Collins will be there a little bit later in the first round, so I wouldn't mind trading back. But I'm starting to really like Jameem Davis out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be maybe along the same lines as Zaven Collins, and maybe a bit better.
He's a freak too.
He really is.
Yeah.
And so I could see that happening.
He run like a 4.41.
But
Yeah, 42-inch vertical.
But my number one overall, and I want it to happen, and I'm a Virginia guy, but if that Virginia Tech offensive tackle, Christian Darrisaw,
love Darrisaw,
falls, yes, if he falls, you've got to run to the podium and get him. Because that right there, that move, transforms the entire offensive line.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does. It really does. I love Darrisaw, watching his film, a run grader. And that's one of the things that Washington has really struggled with over the past, I would say, probably 5 to 6 years, ever since Jay took over. They just could not run the football. And adding Darrisaw there would really help out that offensive line. You're absolutely right, Ken. I can't thank you enough for joining us, Ken. I really appreciate you coming on, and I enjoy your work that you do for Riggo's Rag and following you on Twitter. I'm glad that you think the same way we do, especially with some of these players. It brings some confidence.
Hey, this is the perfect invitation then. And I really enjoyed being here, guys. I really did. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. We're going to have you on again, Ken. Hopefully next time we can get your video camera working.
Yeah. I need to learn some technical skills over here.
Dude, it happens to us all the time. It's just technology. You know what I'm saying, Ken?
Absolutely.
All right, Ken. All right, you guys. Have a good night.
You too. Have a good evening. Man, take it easy.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Have a good one, Ken. All right, everybody. We just spoke with Ken, the contributor from Riggo's Rag. That was a great one, to say the least.
Love how we felt very similar to us with just about every prospect.
Yeah.
Does that tell you? Very often.
I know. Very rarely.
Very, very rarely. Now, I wanted to get your guys' opinions on this because there's been mixed feelings about it, but the Washington football team announced like the making the brand fan ambassador program they're going to be starting. So I wanted to ask you guys how you felt about it, Hall.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. Obviously, getting the fans involved with the name, what they've been trying to do for a while. I guess they're past the whole, like, suggestions part now. But obviously, they're moving into the next phase of it, which is the rebranding part, actually getting a team of people together and thinking of some ideas and stuff and how to present it to the public and whatnot. So I'm all for it. And I think you said on Twitter where it was like, if they didn't involve the fans or get their input, everyone would be pissed off and be like, oh, why didn't you ask us? And whatever else. So
steal my explanation, man.
I mean, I knew it was coming. I couldn't think of my own, so I had to say yours. So I like it. And so I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it. I feel like the fans should be involved every step of the way throughout this process. They should be in the light with all of this personally. I wouldn't see it any other way. And so I understand where they're going with this. They're trying to make sure they're having that close relationship with fans throughout this process. They don't lose grip on what they want. So that way they could continue having an intelligent opinion on what the name should be. It gets them a really good option. Because if you get fans from different sectors of names that they like, get them together, and then you're kind of throwing names into a pool, you're going to be able to find like a jury almost. You're going to be able to come to a consensus on what a good name should be. So it's really smart on their part, my personal opinion. I think the fans should be involved every step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little torn on it. Like, it's cool to get the fans involved, but we all know Rev's going to win, you know? He's going to put in 1,000 votes for himself, and he's going to win.
Now, like, we asked Ken about the trade from yesterday, the Jets trading away Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. So, Reed, let me ask you, do you think that was a good move for both teams?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was no secret that the Jets were going to get rid of him. I mean, it's been known they were leaning quarterback. I mean, when you're picking number two, kind of have to. Sam Darnold hasn't really proved much. And look, I know people are going to say that maybe the Panthers gave up a decent amount because of the second rounder and then what some of these things can turn into for somebody who hasn't really produced. But if Sam Darnold cannot produce with Joe Brady and this offense with these wide receivers, this running back, I mean – then there's no hope for him. I mean, the guy's going to have every chance. It's going to be – if he can put it together, watch out, because he could be very, very good in this offense. And if that happens, then obviously the Panthers won this trade, because anytime you get a franchise quarterback, that's the case. But right now it's kind of iffy. It's a little iffy. But I really think that if he can put it together, watch out.
Yeah, this is really weird to me with what Carolina did. They just gave a big contract to Teddy Bridgewater. I saw some Twitter account earlier said – that if they cut Bridgewater, it's like a $56 million cap hit or something against them. It's absolutely insane. And like, it kind of seems like they don't know what to do here. Like, they're trying to basically be able to get a quarterback without having to use their draft selection the first round to do so. So they go and get Darnold. Look, this is a great, great thing for Darnold to be able to go down to Carolina, and he kind of like Tannehill in a way. He's going with Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, a run-heavy offense, and then sprinkle in, you know, DJ Moore. They're going to be able to have there for him. So, and Robbie Anderson, who we played with in New York. So I understand where they're coming from. I feel like the Panthers gave up a little bit too much for it by giving away that second rounder next year and a fourth as well on top of the sixth rounder. Because, like, we laughed about it. We were like, oh, they got him for a sixth? Holy crap, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it was a second and a fourth next year. But, look, I'm not – easily a year from now, we could be looking back at this saying Matt Rhule's a genius, Or we can look at it from a year from now and say, they don't know what they're doing, and Matt Rhule is just another Chip Kelly. What do you think about that, Hall?
Yeah. Oh, first off, pretty sure Teddy Bridgewater's dead cap hit is in like $56 million, because that's like higher than like Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson.
I think
Wilson,
it's a guaranteed or something. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I did.
No, yeah. I think they gave him a lot of guaranteed money just to cut him after 1 year. It's kind of like, But yeah, I mean, it's a great move for the Panthers. Obviously, like you said, they gave up a little bit too much. If they would have just gave up the six and maybe like a fourth next year, that would be like, that'd still be kind of pushing it. But in the long run, it would probably work out and pan out for the Panthers, just because a sixth round pick and a fourth round pick are coin flips anyway at that point. So, yeah, I think it's great for Sam Darnold, just for the fact of he gets to get away from New York. It's a huge market up in New York. It's like a smaller, way smaller market in Carolina, where they're not going to be all up in your face, all up on his ass, like headlines about him 24/7. Joe Brady obviously is a nice up-and-coming coordinator. You see what he did with Joe Burrow and LSU when he put up all those historic numbers in his record-breaking year. Sam Darnold obviously is not Joe Burrow, but he's athletic like Joe Burrow.
He's talented, yeah.
He's talented like Joe Burrow. He has pretty much the same arm strength as Joe Burrow. And obviously, like you said, McCaffrey, he has a rapport already with Robbie Anderson from his New York Jets days. DJ Moore is a stud. So the pieces are definitely there. So like you said, Reed, if he can kind of shake the ghost that he was seeing in New York and shake the ghost of Adam Gase, if you want to call it that, I think that he can definitely flip his career around, and he'll live up to that number three overall pick that he was supposed to be.
Imagine going from an Adam Gase ran offense to a Joe Brady ran offense. Yeah. Like, this should be. He's the luckiest human being in the world. This is the best thing that's ever happened.
Imagine going from Frank Gore being your leading rusher to Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Dude, I'm saying if Darnold has a bounce back year and like looks like an MVP type candidate, Adam Gase should never be hired again. Like
Adam Gase already shouldn't be hired.
He shouldn't
again.
Even like, be a towel boy. I don't understand how he coerces these front offices to give him
Washington Twitter is going to melt down the days that Sam Darnold comes out and throws like four touchdowns in week one. Fitzpatrick throws like two or three interceptions in week one, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, fire Ron Rivera."
See, yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, let's move on to our fan questions. And sticking with Darnold, Tony Franchise wants to know, with the Darnold trade to the Panthers, does it seem like one of the quarterbacks falls into our lap at 19, Reed?
No. I'm sorry. Like, we talked about this. I saw people tweeting like, oh, this means Mac Jones is going to fall to 19. No, it's not. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen, guys. Sorry. It just, their quarterbacks could go 1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody's going to trade up. People know that Denver needs a quarterback. I think somebody will ultimately trade up with Atlanta. If Atlanta could take a quarterback, somebody will end up trading up there to 4. And then Denver needs one at 9. A quarterback's not going to fall out of the top 10. Mark my words. None of the top 5 quarterbacks are going to fall out of the top 10.
I think that one might, but I will say that the Patriots are like the cutoff point.
It's not going to happen. Patriots might 15. Even just trade
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Right?
You got to jump the Broncos.
Right. If there's one quarterback left over going to 15, I could very well see Belichick pulling the trigger. Now, is it likely? No, in my personal opinion. I don't think one of those is going to fall to 19, but there's a very good chance that it could. And Hall has said it before. If that quarterback falls to at 19, that's a glaring warning sign. There is a reason why the teams are passing up on him with so many quarterback needy teams in the NFL right now. So if he does fall to 19, I hope we don't pull the trigger, to be perfectly honest, if we're just pissing away a first rounder.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with y'all. There's no way that he gets past like outside of the top 10, even really 11 picks. Cause I was watching the herd, like everyone hates on Colin Cowherd, but majority of the time, he's actually like right.
Except for about Sean Taylor and John Wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Right about those guys,
of course. But I'm just talking about as far as like what he had, like draft picks and stuff like that. And he said like 2 or 3 weeks ago on his show that he was hearing out of Denver that they're trying to move up into the top 7 to 8 picks and get a quarterback because they're not sold on Drew Lock. They want to move away from Drew Lock.
Yeah.
And they think that they're a quarterback away from pretty much competing, which I don't think. But
I don't know, man. That offense with a legit quarterback would be terrible.
And that was the point. It was like if they get a guy like Mac Jones or one of the top four, like Lance or something like that, you got Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Hamlin, obviously Melvin Gordon in the backfield. If you can just sew that defense up a little bit with Von Miller and
Bradley Chubb
on the outside, then they could be not right back in the mix, I don't think, but I mean they would be better than the Raiders.
Be good. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Yeah, like you said, I don't think the 19 is going to happen. So, yeah, they're not getting past Denver or the Patriots.
I will say, wasn't Colin Coward, wasn't he super, super high on Darnold when he came out?
Darnold. That's what I'm saying. Like, people hate on him.
But that's the thing. Darnold hasn't done anything.
When those West Coast teams, he was high on Herbert. He's always getting information about Denver, Seattle. But
he was high on Darnold, and that's not, that's not tight.
not at all.
No, he's a nice guy.
No, he's a very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Hell of a guy.
Now, the HGVR podcast wants to know, do chicken or beef ramen haul?
Ooh.
Man. I'm not going to lie. I used to be a big chicken guy. But over my broke years, when I was in my teens, late teens, early 20s, I became a beef guy. So definitely beef ramen noodles for me.
Sketchy. It's chicken, baby. Chicken all day. Chicken all day, especially for ramen or like cup of noodles. The chicken flavor is always the best, dude. I can just smell the opening it.
Are we talking like actual ramen or like cup of noodles ramen?
Ramen.
So with like ramen. Real, like legit, actual good ramen that you get from a restaurant? Or are you talking ramen noodles? We're talking shitty ramen in a cup. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you got to go chicken.
Broke boy shit, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta go chicken. I know. Sorry, I'm not a peasant. No, I'm just kidding. I love ramen. I eat it all the time. It's just there's good ramen too, and I just assume that's what made me. Mad. But no, you got to go chicken. You have to. I'm sorry.
It's chicken.
Sorry to all you beef eaters out there.
Yeah, Hall.
Beefer.
Be a man. Eat beef.
Now, yeah, right.
Next question is from Orange Crush 92. What is your opinion of the void years on contracts? He talked about how he listened to the Ben Standick podcast, and Ben had a guy on that they were discussing the void years and how basically it pushes big money to back into the contract into next year's kind of cap space. So what is your feeling on that, Hall, with the void years on contracts?
I guess I would depend on the player and whose contract you're voiding. But as far as like backloading the cap space and then eating into the next year, I feel like if this was the old regime with like Bruce Allen and all those guys, I'd be kind of worried about it because they were like giving out big contracts to not worthy players, I guess, if you want to call it that. But with this new regime, I feel like they'll be savvy enough to kind of work around stuff like that and be able to free up space here and there, and it all bounce out at the end. So, I mean, I guess it really just counts on the player that's getting voided and all the extra stuff that comes with it. But, yeah, I'd rather void a guy's contract and get rid of him now than have him stick around and just cause problems in the locker room, on the field, or wherever it may be.
Where was the void years with the D. Hall contract or the Albert Haynesworth contract is what I want to know.
That's what I want to know.
Why was that not used, in my personal opinion? I like it because it gives an advantage to teams in being able to get out under these contracts. Now, if we want to have a discussion on if players should have fully guaranteed contracts like the MLB does or like the NBA or whatever have you, it's hard for football because with football, it's 100% guaranteed you're going to have an injury at some point. Nobody goes through scot clean through their career. So the void years is smart, in my personal opinion, especially with the Saints being able to use those void years basically as funny money. Well, giving Taysom Hill like $100 million contract or something like that. It was something ridiculous, but like none of it was true. It was only like they were paying him like $12 million or something this year, and that was it. They just blew up the numbers so they could pump out further cap space, which is they should be hit with a fine like we were, but regardless. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do like to void years. It's just another mechanism for them to use to get some more money in there, and I appreciate that. What about you, Reed?
Yeah, I feel the same way as you guys.
Yeah, you don't really know, do you?
No, I'm not a big contract guy.
Yeah, neither.
It's because I have all these learning disorders and stuff, so when it comes to numbers, my mind just blanks out, and like I don't even want to attempt to learn it. I don't even want to know anything about it. So like when it comes to money and stuff, like, I don't even know how much money I have.
You see so much of it. Jesus. Now, Tony Shivers wants to know, aside from Trayvon Morig from TCU, what other safeties do you like in the draft, Reed?
Ooh, there's a few of them, but I'll just say one because I know you guys are going to have some too, and I don't want to upset the great podfather about this. I'm going to go one of my favorite safeties that is, depending on if he's healthy or not, I just think he would fit very well with this defense, is Andre Sisco from Syracuse. The guy is just a straight-up ball hawk. He's always around the ball, always making plays, led college in interceptions for, what was it, Hall, like two, 3 years? 2 years or something. He was always getting, he was always around the ball, man. If he's coming off of an injury, but if he is healthy and he could be that center field type guy that's just always around the ball, you could get him maybe late day two, early day three, go for it. I love Andre Cisco.
Yeah, for me, Tony, it's Paris Ford. I know he's predominantly used as a strong safety. I know he
ran a 4.9
terrible 40, but I'm telling you, his play speed is a lot faster than that 40 time.
Yeah, it's
I'm
like not, a 4.85 or something.
I don't know what it is, but he's a hard hitter. The dude is a phenomenal hitter, and he's the type of guy you want in your back end of your offense. Now, is it all predicated on that 40 time? No, because what did Scott? I know Scott McClellan wasn't the best talent evaluator, but what he would always say is, you know, the measurables, the 40 time, the bench, all that—that's just like the cherry on top. The actual Sunday is actual game film and the interview and everything. So for me, it's Paris Ford. I just like the fact that he's a big time hitter. He could come from that free safety spot and lay the wood. You know, he's the opposite of Troy Apke. In a way, so that's, what,
right,
that's why I like it. Like
the exact opposite. Color. Yeah, exactly. After runs a 4.3. This guy.
Yeah, a guy that a lot of people have been talking about, and I could definitely see them if he's there going after maybe the second round is Richie Grant out of UCF.
Yeah,
I think he's like the second rated safety, maybe, and some people has him as the first rated safety on the board. I got some stats right here. Had a coverage grade of 90.9 in 2019, 86.2 this past season. So, obviously, he's a ball hawk. 17 combined picks and pass breakups over that two-year span. So,
he's a
like I
said,
he's a ball hawk. Yeah. He's a great tackler. He's a guy that can play up in the box. Like I said, he's a back-end guy. Can roam on the back-end, play free safety as well. So, like Ken said, would it be a surprise if they went free safety maybe early second round or maybe trade up late first round? No, because a guy like Richie Grant would definitely be a pick that I could definitely see going.
Another good one that nobody's talked about, Javon Holland from Oregon. He's just somebody who can do it all. He could easily go day two.
Now, I know that a lot of people have talked about Trayvon Morig, but I've said personally, because of the back issues, I would much rather draft Caleb Farley to play free safety than I would any other prospect in this draft. The dude is a shoe-in free safety if the back is a concern with playing corner and how much they're moving and everything. With Caleb Farley, I know that he probably won't want to, but look, it doesn't matter at that point. You're playing where we want you. I would much rather just select Caleb Farley in that position than anything else, in my personal opinion. He can play free safety immediately. Now, Shelly from the DC Tweet Team podcast. Congratulations, Shelly. I enjoyed listening to you today. She asks, do we trade up or do we trade back? She says trading up to four is enticing to get a quarterback since is that a good idea since next year's draft class isn't great, but what will it cost us? And I'll start with you, Reed. Do we trade up? Do we trade back? What will it cost?
Yeah, you're going to have to start with Hall real fast because I'm in the middle of responding to something about James.
Hall.
Well, I don't see them trading up unless, obviously, like we've been talking about for weeks now, that one of the guys like Justin Fields or Trey Lance – randomly starts to slide past the top, like 12, I guess. But even Philly's sitting at 12. If they see a guy like Justin Fields or Trey Lance, they're probably not going to pass on him either. But yeah, only way that happens, I see him trading up, is if one of the Justin Fields or Trey Lance randomly starts to slide. Trading back would be the more probable of the two for a guy like Zaven Collins or Zaven Collins or Jeremiah
Owusu
Okoromora, because, you know, he might still be there past 20 or something like that. So, yeah, I could definitely see them trading back, if anything.
Yeah, most likely it's going to be trading back if they don't make the selection there at 19, because we be jamming Davis. I think actually earned himself a first round selection with those measurables, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm-hmm. Running a 4.41 and then having a 42 inch vertical. It was disgusting what he put out there. And his game film is great. It's phenomenal. He's not as great as coverage guy as, like, let's say, like Pete Warner from Ohio State, but he is like what you would have as a Mike linebacker. He fits the bill. That's what he played with and played at in college. And so he's a fill in right there for your 4.3. Immediately with the measurables on top of it. We'll love it. Obviously, I would also love Zaven Collins trading back. Now, let's just say Kyle Pitts somehow finds a way out of the top 10. That's the only time that I'm trading up for it. That's the only time. That's it. I'm not trading up for anything else unless Kyle Pitts is in range. If he's not, I'm done with it. Let's see what happens at 19, or let's try to trade back. in my personal opinion.
Now, I don't think that there's really any way that they trade up, to be honest.
I don't either. I don't think Kyle Pitts is going to be there.
Yeah, there's no way Kyle Pitts is going to be there out of the top 10.
Just, 12. The Eagles would just take him at 12.
He's not getting out. Any team would just be like, we'll take him. I don't care if we have a tight end. All right, good. You can use him anywhere. The only way that they would trade up would be if a quarterback fell. I don't see that happening. Ron Rivera has said that they're not going to mortgage their future. Next year, I know it's not as good as this class, but there's some good guys next year. I mean, there's some pretty good guys. Of course, you're probably going to be in the same position that you were in this year. They're like, you have to be bad in order to get one of these guys. So, I mean, I really like Desmond Ridder, but yeah, you guys hit all the nails on the head. So.
Yeah, and one thing, Shelly, about next year. I know that next year's class is not considered great by any means, but you never know what's going to happen during the season. You don't know who's going to blossom, who's going to do well. Zach Wilson wasn't really moving the needle for people last offseason. It wasn't until this year that people started really looking like, oh man, this kid's actually really good. So like for me, like let's say Washington is around the same spot next year with five quarterbacks being taken in the first round, possibly in this draft, you have to imagine there's not going to be that many quarterback needy teams next year.
There will. There's teams getting older. Quarterbacks underperform.
There is. But in that first round, they might not go after those quarterbacks that are there because of the worry that they're not that good. So there's a good chance that those quarterbacks could be pushed towards the middle of the round where you'd only have to trade up a couple spots. Instead of having to trade up from 19 to 4 or 5, you could trade up from 19 to 13 or 14. It's going to be a lot cheaper next year.
The only thing is I feel like every year people say that like, well, next year, but then every year there's like 2-3 quarterbacks that are just guaranteed to go at the top of just because the need you have to. If you're finishing at the top of the draft, obviously your quarterback didn't play so well. It's the most important position usually people are picking there. And I mean, of course, unless like the Jets or the Jaguars, unless Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence dies, then, you know, I mean, that's the only way.
Yeah, and like I know that explanation from everybody, but at this point, like all of these teams are in the
top. By everybody, you mean me.
Everyone that's in the top 5, top 10 that are selecting a quarterback this year are usually in the top 5, top 10 taking a quarterback, and they never work out.
Yeah, I know. They keep on doing quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's funny because everyone's like, yeah, you have to get in the top 5, top 10 to get a quarterback. But all these teams continue doing that, and they suck. Like, everyone, we all talk about how bad
Daniel. It's a carousel. It's the carousel of the same teams.
We all talk about how bad Daniel Jones was. Well, guess where he was drafted? Like, come on, guys.
All right. Six.
My rant's over. But so Wahoo Dad 2 wants to know, have you guys looked into Brady White, the quarterback from Memphis, or Jarrett Patterson, the running back from Buffalo Hall?
The running back from Buffalo, I know he had like that crazy eight touchdown game
against Kent State. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how his name kind of circulated out there. I'm pretty sure he had some type of workout recently and he was like had a pretty good number. So I mean he's definitely maybe a guy that they could like take a late round flyer, maybe fifth, sixth round, seventh round, something like that. Maybe add him to the running back room. As far as Brady White goes, I just really honestly see him as another Paxton Lynch. So, nah.
For Brady White, his arm strength is a concern at times, and his delivery is really long. I'm not going to say really long, but it's a long delivery. He's got some things to shore up. It's like the plays he makes are like it's just like flying ducks. They fall in, the receivers are making a good play to catch them. I think that he's probably an undrafted guy that's going to get picked up on a practice squad or whatever have you. He looked good. It's just he doesn't really move the needle. He plays really well with mechanics and everything, but it just doesn't pop off at you. You know what I mean now?
Yeah, he doesn't have any outstanding traits like whatsoever.
And then with Jarrett Patterson, he had a great game, phenomenal game, but his offensive line was moving dudes out the way. There was one run where he ran for a touchdown where it looked like you could drive a fire truck through it. With his offensive line. And he's not like a shifty agility kind of guy. He's more of like a straight line kind of runner. If you get his feet moving a little bit, he slows up, and that's how you can get him down. So with Jarrett Patterson, I think he's like probably a later round guy. He looks good, but he's going to need blocking to do it. He doesn't make anything. He doesn't make a play by himself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same as you. I think both of those guys, Jarrett Patterson's interesting to me just because of the big game. And I mean, hey, you could use one of those on Washington, somebody that can come in there and just move the pile. But also his weight, I mean, he's 195. What is he? 5'10", something, 5'11", something like that. So 5'9".
He's sneaky fast.
I mean, he's somebody who, I mean, he could maybe help out, but I think he's a late round pick. And then White, I'm not a big fan. I think he's an undrafted guy.
Yeah, Memphis just has loaded talent, dude. If you watch their tape, dude, they're athletes.
Kenny Gainwell's a freak.
That was going to be my point. Kenny Gainwell. he's a guy that stands out kind of on the tape because he has so many weapons around him that he has no choice to stand out, you know? So he's just a Jag, in my opinion. Just another guy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Now, next question from Wahoo Dad is Tevin Jenkins worth the 19th pick? If not, is Jackson Carmen Hall? The tackle from Clemson. Jenkins being the tackle from Oklahoma State University.
I know.
I was telling the audience, not you. Sorry.
I know. I'm just messing with you. Tevin Jenkins, it's a little rich for my taste at 19. Man. But, I mean, again, if you're going to go tackle at 19 and Darisaw's there, I would rather obviously take Darisaw over Jenkins. And as far as who was the second one or the first? Oh, Carmen. Yeah, Carmen is more of a second, third round pick for me, in my opinion. But again, if they're going to pass up tackle in the first round, I would have no problem with them taking a guy like Jackson Carmen in the second or third round.
Yeah. Tevin, I definitely do think that he's worth the 19th pick now. But I feel like Tevin needs to go to a place that fits what he's trying to do, meaning kind of like the right tackle kind of thing. Yes, he can play left tackle. He's very versatile. He could play all over the line. But, like, the unfortunate thing to me is if we draft Tevin Jenkins at 19, I know what that means for Double M. And I don't want to see that. I think Double M is coming off his best year of his career. I think that he should continue try to build that. I would hate to see Tevin come in and completely take the job right away. But Tevin is a mauler, dude. I mean, every single snap, the dude is punching people in the face, running them into the ground, blocking guys into the sideline onto the bench. He is a grader, and I feel like the best spot for him was like Tennessee, where a place where they could plug him in at right tackle right away, and he just fits their offense. Jackson Carmen, I love him so much. I do. I loved his film. I think that he's going to be a great professional. I think he's slotted for left tackle. I don't care about the arm length. Look at his wingspan at 87. That's going to take you away from his arm length. It's going to show you why he's a left tackle in this league, and I truly believe that. 19 is too rich, but I do believe Jackson Carmen is going to be a great professional, is going to outperform a lot of these tackles that are drafted in front of him, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
That's just we know, Kai. You're right. Tevin Jenkins, when you watch his tape, he's so fun to watch. He's so nasty.
He makes
such a bulldozer.
Fun, you know?
Yeah. He looks like a nerd, but he's so good. There's no doubt in my mind that he will succeed in the NFL. I mean, I just think that he has that type of mentality and he's talented. But 19, I think, is a little too rich for him. He's a guy who he has the athleticism and the ability to possibly play left tackle, but he's played right tackle. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to project if he's going to do it right there, or if he's going to be comfortable there, even though I think he can. So I think 19, he'll get picked anywhere between there. I would say between like 20 and 25 is probably where I could see him going, possibly the end of round one. But the Jackson Carmen, I mean, like Hall said, on day two, I'm 100% okay with Jackson. I would love that. I think that he's going to be very good. But yeah, I think 19 is too rich for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Sean from Florida, Florida Skins fan Sean that we had for the mock draft, he asked, do you guys want Washington to trade up to number 4 now that Atlanta is open to trading, Hall?
No. Too many assets to give up. From 19 to 4 is a ridiculous amount of stuff to give up. And if that was the case, if you're going to, like, do that, obviously, like,
Juan Soto just had to walk off, by the way.
Yes.
Walk off liner.
Yeah. Obviously, in hindsight, like now, you wouldn't do it. But if you're going to give up all that stuff to jump up to number 4, you should have just gave up all that stuff to get Deshaun Watson. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or like a Russell Wilson. So if they're not going to go in all in for a guy that's already established in the league, why would you go all in for a guy that could be a franchise guy but could not? And then you're right back in the position we were with RG3 where – give up all that stuff and the cupboard's bare and no quarterback. What are we going
to
do now?
So, yes, and that was the whole point with RG3. That's why it was a terrible trade to do, because the guy was complaining, saying, I need more help around me. I can't do everything by myself. Aaron Rodgers has guys blocking for him. Well, they just traded the farm to get you. That's why they can't supply you with any other playmakers around you. So you got to be good enough so where you don't need those playmakers. In my personal opinion, no, I do not want them to trade up to number 4 for the reasons that Hall stated. Lots of holes in this roster. We don't know what's going to go on with the D-line from here on out with all the money and the cap space and everything. You got to be able to have those draft picks because they're cheap and they might come in handy in a year or two when you're up against the cap. When you don't want to get stuck in a situation like the Houston Texans where you're up against the cap and you have no early draft picks to kind of supplement yourself. So you're kind of screwed in that aspect. Don't want to see that happen. So no, I do not want to see them trade up to four.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. After this response, I got to head out. So just so you like to get an idea of what it would cost, I pulled up the NFL draft trade chart to get from 19 to 4. It's a hefty price. So far, I mean, just trading pick 19, which is worth 875, pick 30, pick 51, which is 390, pick 74, which is 220, and pick 82, which is 180. That's 1,665 points, right? Pick number four is worth 1,800 is worth 1,800 points. So even that's not enough to do it. You would have to throw in a pick from next year. You'd have to trade. It's just too much at this point. I mean, and you would have to go over what the value is, because I mean, that's what happened when the 49ers traded up. They had to give the Dolphins more than what the pick was worth. Yeah. So I don't see it. Yeah. And some people are going to be wanting to trade up better offers. I just don't see it happening.
No. And that the whole point is, like, if a team likes people there, you're essentially telling them to take themselves out of all of those prospects that they like in that area.
Right.
And so like that's going to up the bargain. You have to make it worth their time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Now, the next question is from Scott Hartley from the UK, The Inquirer.
Love you, Scott, but daddy's got to take off.
Oi. So Oi. Let's go to Scott. Scott's question is, you can make three changes to the franchise, either to the playing staff, to the back room staff, which is like front office, ownership. What are you doing and why, Hall?
Well, I mean, I guess the obvious one would probably be ownership, just because I like the direction they're going, obviously, behind the scenes, like the coaching staff off the field and the front office and all those guys. I like the direction they're going on the field as far as getting a lot of young players in, a lot of culture-changing guys, a lot of guys that are coming in their rookie year contributing, a lot of guys that are teachable and, like, can learn the game of football even better at the highest stage. So, obviously, the easiest answer would be just to get rid of Dan Snyder and have someone else come in. But even then, I'm kind of just like, yeah, he's not even that bad. After last year, you know, I'm kind of just like, just do what you did last year. Just stay away, and we'll be good.
Honestly, like, I want Chris Harris to stay here. That obviously would mean that something would happen with Jack Del Rio. Obviously, maybe he gets a head coaching gig before Chris Harris. You never know. Another one is Coach Gibbs. I would love to have. I know that he has his racing team with NASCAR. It's really successful. There's no reason to do it. Would love to see Gibbs in this front office to be added to it, to bring some more insight into it, without a doubt. And that's all I got for those.
I will say I wouldn't mind if Alex Smith came back, for which obviously it's not going to happen because all the stuff that happened after. But. Yeah, I'm saying if he came back and was like somehow involved in the front office, or like somehow involved with like the quarterback room and the coaching staff, as far as like some type of offensive assistant, I would love that, because Alex Smith is a great, smart guy. But like I said, that's not going to happen now.
No, it's not. Now, Mike has a question for us. What does it say about the quarterbacks in the draft if the Panthers have gone with Darnold rather than fighting for one of the quarterbacks in the draft class sitting at 7? It's a great question.
I think it means that they don't want to draft Mac Jones. Honestly, that's just really what it means to me. I think that Trey Lance is going to be gone. Fields will be gone. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence will be gone. And I'm missing one. Zach Wilson obviously will be gone at number 2. So, yeah, obviously I just think it means that they're not really that sold on Mac Williams, and they'd rather go with
Mac Williams.
Mac Jones. They'd rather go with Mac Jones. Over, or they'd rather go with Sam Darnold, who Joe Brady obviously thinks that he can turn into the next kind of Joe Burrow type quarterback in the NFL, over a guy like Mac Jones, who, by all accounts, some people have him a first rounder, top 10 pick, some people have him as a fourth rounder, middle round pick, or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it does say a lot, Mike, about what they think of the quarterbacks in the draft. They could have easily selected one, but they'd rather go with another position there in the first round. That rather than quarterback, I think that says a lot about what is going to be there. And it's a warning sign with these quarterbacks. I know everyone wants to trade up for one. I get it. I understand. We all want a franchise quarterback. The only issue is that you're saying that this guy has to work. If you're trading up for it, he has to work. If not, you're right back into where you were with RG3 in 2013, 2014, in no man's land, without high-end picks to kind of help you out in the rest of your team. I don't want to be sitting in that kind of scenario. But the Panthers, I mean, I'm like I said before, I really don't know what they're doing here. I thought that this was like kind of like a backwards move. They're now and it's stuck in this situation where Bridgewater and they don't know what to do here. It's really, really weird.
Well, I will say that even if they can get some type of trade value for Bridgewater, like a later round pick, third, maybe some later fourth, fifth round, cool. But even if they had to cut him, it is what it is at this point because, oh, man, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, so Carolina. The only reason that they probably went after Sam Darnold is because obviously they feel like Sam Darnold can be an upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater, but also – they'd be moving up in the draft to get a guy if Atlanta, who's their division rival, wasn't at four. If it's any other team at four, they'd be trading up to get one of these top four quarterbacks. But Atlanta obviously is not going to give them their franchise guy, possibly, for however many draft picks it costs. They're not going to do that. So that's why they go after a guy like Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's still scratching my head over that. Now, Andy from the UK has a question for us. Would you support the team if they picked up and relocated to another location?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to support the team regardless because this has been my – no, I mean, what's the location? Like, still, like, in the DMV or, like
– no, he's about, like... saying, like, a different state. Like, he's saying, like the Raiders did.
Oh. I don't know. It's a tough one. I never really thought about that.
It's a very tough question.
That is a tough one.
Honestly, Burrows,
yeah,
no.
You go first. I want to think about this, actually.
It would be a dumb move, first off, because this Washington fan base has made it into a billion-dollar organization with 20 years of terrible play. This is a huge market for a football team. Anybody knows that. If you move out of this, I rep the team because they rep my area. You know what I'm saying? The guys that go into driving to work take the same roads I do. I love that, and I've loved this team for many, many years. If you pick up a move, it's not like there were people in Baltimore rooting for Indianapolis once the Colts moved. You know what I'm saying? I would not be in that situation. No, I would not be. I'd be waiting for another team to come to build here to start over, to be perfectly honest with you. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm so torn on this because, like you said, I rep the team because I'm like DC type of like sports team guy. Like I like the Wizards, unfortunately.
Yep, me too.
Capitals guy, Nationals, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I would probably still watch them as far as like, cause like I've always been a guy that's like, I make fun of people that like team hop and like, oh, well, I don't like this team. No, I like this team. Or, oh, they moved out of my state. I like this team now. It's like, so it'd be hard for me to kind of just switch up and after 33, almost 34 years of fandom, just, oh, well, I hate this team now. I'm going to go be a Ravens fan now. Like,
I wouldn't be a Ravens fan.
I know. I'm just saying I'm just a random team. That's still in Maryland, you know?
Yeah.
But I'd be like a hypocrite because, again, I make fun of people and I go on people that like team hop and, oh, I like this team. I like this team. I got 2-3 different teams I like. So I'd probably still be a fan, but I would be highly, 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 highly times a million upset if they moved out of the DMV.
Very upset, dude. I would be distraught. Now, yeah. Andy had another thing. He got a message from the NFL UK essentially saying that from what he was told, the guy who's now taking over NFL UK wants a team full-time in London within 2 to 3 years. What do you think about that?
2 to 3 years seems a little really, really, really quick process to me personally. But, I mean, anything's possible, I guess.
We also thought the same thing about the 17-game schedule.
And that's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm like, anything's possible, like, right. Clearly nowadays, because it's all about the money at the end of the day. But, well, first of all, they'd have to create a team like over here as well. I guess they could create two London teams, maybe like an AFC London team, NFC London team. But you'd have to create two teams to kind of create the balance of the AFC NFC because you can't have one 17 conference, one 16 team conference. So that's the first part of it. The second part is if you obviously know you watch the NFL, all the London games come on at like 9 o'clock in the morning. So like, obviously, a lot of the fan bases for whatever team that would be kind of mad. Like, I can't watch my team.
Unless they played night games, and then that way it's like 8 o'clock their time and it's 2 o'clock over here.
Yeah, I guess I could
like
work
7
too.
O'clock. 1 o'clock.
What is it, like 6-hour difference or something
like
that?
Yeah, 6 hours. 5 to 6 hours, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously they would make it work because it's NFL and they're going to do whatever they want. But I just don't see it happening just for the simple fact of the whole logistics, flying back and forth overseas for over a 16 or 17 week schedule now. Playoffs, if they make the playoffs, you got to go over there overseas possibly. So I just think it would be too much of a logistic hassle. But I could definitely see them bringing back NFL Europe like they had back in the day.
Yeah, me too. That's crazy to me personally that they would have a team in London, and maybe they add like another California team after the Raiders moved from Oakland. Maybe they add a Cali team and then adding the London team along with it. That would make a lot of sense, expanding to 34. And then you have a lot of – then the conference is going to break down. How are you going to do each one? Brings a lot into it. I would love it personally, Andy. I think the NFL is smart for wanting to expand. Whatever they want to do, let's do it, man. You have the assets to do it, and we've already seen there is a huge market for football over in Europe. They're getting tired of soccer, baby. They're ready for some American football, and I'm all for it. Let's give it to them.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, I guess you'd have to add more than like two teams, because what are you gonna have the team in the division have five teams in it, and then five teams in it, and everyone else has four.
You could restructure with 34. There's different. Like, you could go to straight up two divisions.
Yeah. I got what you're saying. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Two conferences, crazy. No divisions. You know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Now, last question to wrap this up real quick. The Colonel wants to know. Thank you, Colonel. Wants to know: are we done with free agency, Hall?
No, we are entering that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh free agency wave. I think, like you said, guys like Trey Boston, I think, are still on the radar for Washington. Obviously, a lot of after the draft is when a lot more free agency starts happening again, because you can fill the holes you didn't fill in the draft with the guys that are still on the street. So definitely, I think that at the end of this month, after the draft is over, leading into early May, you'll start seeing free agency start picking up a little bit more again.
Yeah, 100% agree. That's where I'm going with. Once the draft is over, that's when we'll see these other guys getting selected, like Trey Boston. If they're not able to get one of these safeties they really like, they can go and plug him in right away. That's what I think that they're waiting on. And you know, we saw last year how well they did with free agents late in the offseason, plucking them in and putting them in right away. So I have all the confidence in them they're going to get done. No, I don't think they're done with free agency. I think KJ Wright's probably on their radar too, just in case if something happens to the linebacker.
Love that move.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. Thank you to Scott. Thank you to Mike, Andy, Wahoo Dad, Colonel, Shelly, Andy, HTWR, Tony, Orange Crush. Thank you, everyone. Really appreciate all your fan questions. We will see you guys on Thursday. Do not miss it. I'm Kyle.
I am losing my Wizards fandom daily by the day.
It's so bad. Ernie Grunfeld, man. After the so many years of him not firing him, I was like, I'm not sure how much longer I can do this.
After 2017, and they didn't make the Eastern Conference Finals, I was just like, well, that was the pinnacle. It's all downhill from here. And it's literally been downhill.
Yeah, it has. All right, everybody. We'll catch you guys on Thursday. Washington football. Whee!
What's up, everyone? This is Kyle from the Burgundy Zone. We are releasing our own merch to support the show. If you want to rock the Burgundy Zone logo, or you want to see Reed's face on your shirt, we got it. We're starting with t-shirts, hoodies, and zip-ups. So if you're a fan of the show, make sure you snag one before they are gone. Check out the link in our bio on Instagram, or you can find the link in the description of the video. Thanks again for all your support. Until next time.